Yeah, it is wonderful to continue to recognize how great God is. I guess that's what, Psalm 104 picks up where Psalm 103 leaves off, where it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," verse 1. "O Lord, my God, thou art very great." Do you know, I mean, what more can describe God? He is very great. He's not just great, he's very great, clothed with honor and majesty. And the greatness of God is truly something that if we recognize daily, we benefit from greatly. The blessings come as we continue to recognize God's greatness. They continue to come. It's a cycle. It's much like the principles of tithing. God initiates the blessing. He always does. He doesn't wait for us to earn it. He initiates the blessings because he's gracious and merciful. He withholds that righteous judgment and he continues to bless in spite of our shortcomings. And so he initiates the blessing cycle. He always does. And so in response to that blessing that we did not earn, we give back to him. That's the tithing cycle, right? And as we honor him for his blessings, he does even more. He opens the windows of heaven, and so it's a cycle that God initiates and we just respond to. God initiates proving how great he is by continuing to take care of people who turn their hearts to him and look to him. And the greatest example of that is Jesus Christ. How that, he empowered Jesus Christ. He called him to represent him and to show the world a creator God who was willing to be a father if people were willing to accept that reality and how to get to that place of knowing the creator, Jehovah Elohim, as a father, an Abba, right? So Jesus Christ, he is to be exalted as well. And the one thing that's been on my mind it's been on my mind for years, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. I just came back to reviewing it, looking at it in depth again, because I don't know, years ago, I started that series on health and healing, and I got through two parts, and I started a third, and it's like, okay, things, life comes up and you put it off. And I looked at it again this weekend. I pulled it back up and it's like, oh, the last time I looked at this was like in February. It's like, boy, you're really moving right along with part three, aren't we? And anyway, I had begun, and what I wanted to begin part three with was looking at the name of Jesus Christ. The name above every name. And so I went back to that and looked at it again in Philippians, and I wanted to share a little bit about that with you today. No matter where we're at, we still come back to this, because this is the instruction for righteousness. This is how we are to determine what is the right doctrine. How are we to think and believe about tithing? How are we to think and to believe about, God's forgiveness, God's grace? How are we to think and speak of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It instructs us on these things. It shares these things with us very plainly. And so if no one else has anything, I'm going to go ahead and share what I was thinking about, because I think it'll bless you. I don't know, it blessed me. So if it blessed me, I'm sure, somebody out there can bless. But yeah, Philippians, if you go there. And like I briefly mentioned, this is something that I think is very important in light of understanding, how we receive healing, how we receive the things, anything, but specifically in this subject that I was dealing with and continue to deal with is, putting on paper some of these things so that people can read them. And because, you know, there's a lot, there's, I know, you know, today's technology is all about YouTubes and you know, podcasts, and everything's got to be, you know, some kind of technical thing. Well, I kind of like writing. I'm not the greatest at it, but I enjoy it. It kind of pushes me a little bit, you know, to make sure that my grammar is right, because my wife is always telling me, "You have the worst grammar." I said, I don't know what you's talking about." But I enjoy it. I just enjoy doing that, and I think that, you know, I enjoy reading also. I enjoy reading things. So recognizing the name of Jesus Christ, recognizing that that is one of those touch points for receiving things. You know, if we ask anything in His name, you know, the Father will do it. And before the time that He was speaking of then, Jesus Christ said, "I'm sending you out. So, and if you need anything, you ask in my name, I will do it for you. Ask it in my name, I'll do it for you." And then speaking of later on, after his crucifixion, his ascension, his resurrection and then ascension, he told them, "Now you'll go to the Father and you'll ask him, and you'll ask him in my name, and he will do it. He'll do it in my name." And, you know, seeing that reality, that it's just not something that we say at the end of a prayer, or you know, it's not a formality. It is a powerful thing that we utilize. And part of the reason why is because of what it states in Philippians chapter 2, when it speaks of this mind that was in Christ Jesus in chapter 2, verse 5. We'll start there to get kind of the context of why this name is so great, and what that name really is. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God," being in that outward, that appearance, you know, the form. You know, he was like, when you saw Christ, you saw an image of his Father. You saw what his Father was all about. Not that he was God, but you saw his Father. It's like when, you know, people look at your offspring. They see you in your offspring. It doesn't make them their own daddy, right? Or their own mama, you know? But it's just a reality. So he was in the form of God. He had all that authority, and he said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And robbery, it's a word that really expresses that desire to seize upon something. Okay? That he recognized that it's not necessary to seize upon his authority that God had given him as his son at this particular time, right? And it talks about the time, you know, when he's about to willingly give himself for the sin of the world as the sin offering, as the Passover lamb, as the Lamb of God. He says that even though he's in the form of God, he thought it not robbery. He did not seize upon his God-given authority to get himself out of what he needed to do if he was going to walk with God and do God's will. But he made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of his own authority and position as the Son of God. He put that all aside and took upon him the form of a servant, not just no longer the Son of God, but a servant of Jehovah. This is something that he didn't have to do, but he decided of his own free will, "I'm going to do this." And was made in the likeness of men. He became just like any other guy out there. He's no longer the guy who can speak to the storm and calm it. He's no longer going to seize upon that authority. He's not going to look at those centurion soldiers that are going to pin him to a cross and say, "Don't you dare touch me. Do you know who I am?" He's going about it just like any other man would have to go about it. A man with no authority. That is like intense. This is an intense mindset. And it is the epitome of humility. And being found in fashion, right, in that outward appearance now is no more the Christ, the Messiah. It is but just like any other man. A man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, or obedient to the point of death. Even the death of a cross, not the cross, but a cross. And the reason I'm bringing up the definite article there and changing it to a instead of the is because it will mean something in the next verses. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. To that extent, the worst type of death that he could experience in that time. Wherefore, because of that, because of this willingness to empty himself of all of his position as the Son of God, of all of his authority that was given to him by his Father, it says God also highly exalted him. God highly exalted him. That word highly exalt is literally that, highly, to super, hooper exalt. Hooper is the Greek, right? It's hooper apsao in the Greek. You know, we, it says, have been exalted if we humble ourselves before God. It says that in Peter 5, right? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. This example of humility is what we're to recognize. This is real humility. This is it. And this is why God says, you know, I'm going to super highly exalt. I'm going to super exalt you. Super exalt him and given him a name which is above every name. That indefinite article, A, is in the Greek, the definite article, the. He has given him the name. The name, which is above every name. And then verse 10 comes in, and it just has thrown me, it's thrown me for a loop ever since the first day I read it. Because what does it say there in this version, and in every version? That at the name of Jesus. Yeah, it doesn't say Christ Jesus. It doesn't say, wait a minute, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus also. All of a sudden now, Jesus is this exalted name. And I scratched my head for years knowing that I'm sorry. If God is working in me, and I believe he is, and I believe he has, and I believe he does, and I believe he will continue to as long as I draw breath, because that's what he says he'll do. Actually, maybe in this chapter. I first recognized that, right? This is God working in you, to willing to do of his good pleasure. It just didn't sit right. It never has sat right. And I've known all along, okay, and everybody says it, but that's not what it reads. Well, it's not Jesus, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, daggone it. Christ Jesus. And then we sing the song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hello, anybody home? And I know the songs are wonderful. The hymns are great if we understand the truth. So I had to do a little digging to prove it, because I knew it was right anyway. But the name of Jesus is not the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus is not the name that is above every name. It is not at the name of Jesus every knee bows. It is the name that God gave to Jesus that is above every name, that at which every knee should bow. You won't see it in any translation where it says that at the name is in. At is in. N in the Greek. E-N. It's in verse 10. That verse 10. In. That in the name. So it gives really an understanding of this. It refers back to the name that God exalted Jesus with and gave to him. That name which is above every name. The name. That in the name that belongs to Jesus, every knee will bow. It is no longer Jesus the man that people bow to. It is the name that he now carries, which is Christ Jesus, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The name that God gave to him that shows his preeminence, that shows his supreme rank and position among all of God's creation. I get passionate about it because I hear it all the time and I am disgusted by it because I cannot allow myself to only recognize the man. I have to recognize him for who he is now, which is represented by the name that God gave to him, which represented God highly exalting him and setting him far above in rank, far above in any position in the heavenlies, in this life and in that which is to come for all eternity. All things are under the feet of the one who carries the name, but it is the name that shows who he really is. You read through the Gospels, there are very few mentions of Christ in the Gospels because the emphasis is on him being a man. As a matter of fact, Christ, the word Christ is used to describe who he is. You look at Matthew 1, you look chapter 1, verse 1, you look at Mark 1, 1, and it's all about Jesus Christ. This is the genealogies of Jesus Christ. And then throughout the rest of the gospel, they refer to him as Jesus because he's that man. In Luke, Christ is not even mentioned. The word Christ is not even employed in the gospel of Luke because Luke is that gospel that emphasizes him as a man. It says in the beginning of Luke, he's the Son of God in that, you know, that prophecy and declaration that the angel brings to Mary. You know, you're going to call him Jesus. He's going to be the Son of God. Oh, okay. But there's no mention of his Messiah because he's the man. His manhood is emphasized. And that word Jesus represents his manhood. That's why you read through the epistles and you see very few times, you see it, but you see very few times when it's not Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ when it's referring to him.
Or Lord Jesus.
Or Lord Jesus. You have Lord Jesus, but then that is a phrase emphasizing a certain aspect also. But he's never Jesus unless he is being referred to, like in the book of Acts, as the man, because people are, it's like, who is this? Who are you talking about? We're talking about this guy Jesus of Nazareth, whom when God raised him from the dead, he made him both Lord and Christ. So this is important. Why? Because it's a name that God gave to him. It's the name that every knee bows to. If I constantly remember him in his humility with the name of Jesus, I can't ever bring myself to recognize his glory. Because it is in his glory that we find our identity. Not in his manhood. Not in his suffering. Not in his rejection. It is in his glory that we find our identity. As sons of God also. It's almost like... So when we recognize that, you know, we see who this man from Galilee really and truly is now. Not who he was. And this is, you know, this act of humility that he exhibited is absolutely, it's unmatched. Unmatched. I mean, a lot of the prophets went through a lot of stuff, but they never went through this. Right? Never. And then we continue. If we understand at the name that belongs to that man Jesus now, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, every realm of all time, whether they are animate or whether they are inanimate, if they have knees, they bow. It's just a way to express the extent to which God has gone to communicate the authority of this name. Right? To the extent that verse 11 says, every tongue should confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. That's who we seek to glorify, our Heavenly Father. And when we recognize Him by His God-given name, it brings great glory to God. Because He's no longer that man that was rejected by His own people. The people He was sent to minister to, Israel, they rejected Him. They said, no, you know, Pilate, save this other Jesus. But crucify that one. There's been a lot of Jesuses out there. So you have to qualify it. You know, you have a lot now too in our culture. Right? The Hispanic culture loves the name. They liked it back then too. Jesus, surname Justice. He's mentioned in one of the epistles. You know, they qualified that. You know, Paul qualified it. So we do too. We use the name that God gave him that shows his supreme, his super supreme eminence. And it's in response to his humility. To his humility. And it eventually every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. He's the Master. He's the one that we seek to emulate. We imitate God our Father as we imitate Christ and how He walked with God and how He gave Himself, how He humbled Himself. And that really is the context, right? You know, if there be verse 1 of chapter 2, this is an encouragement to be like-minded, right? I mean, this is like, whoa, how about that? If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort and love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, oh, just fulfill ye my joy. Be like-minded, having the same love. Be of one accord, one mind, one purpose, one mind. I know you may have your own agenda, but that's not important. Let everyone esteem others more important than themselves. Look on the things of others. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you also. Yeah, I know you're a son of God. I know you're a daughter of God. I know you're seated on the right hand of God. But sometimes you just got to say, you know what? That's not important. You're more important than me. And that was his encouragement to them. It wasn't an order. It wasn't a command. It was an encouragement. And he motivates them to want to do that by giving an example of it. By giving the example of that man that now possesses the name which is above every name. That's why that name's important. That's why it's important. You know, what do you think God would have done if Abram had continued to go by Abram instead of Abraham after God said, no, Abram, you're Abraham. You're going to be the father of a multitude. Abram accepted that reality. And he started to call himself Abraham. And God called him Abraham. Anytime he addressed him. Anytime he gave him instruction. He didn't revert back to the Abram. The one that was without God. You know, just trudging along, trying to do the best he could in life. So we continue to recognize that the name that has been given to our Lord and Savior is the one we use. That's the one we use. I don't care if there's a million people out there not using it, I'm going to use it. Now, am I going to jump all over everybody that doesn't? No. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to use it. I'm just going to use it. And I don't say this to be judgmental. I don't say it to encourage us to have an attitude, because we are to allow, and you know, let this mind, the word mind is literally the word that is defined as to have or hold opinions, to have thoughts, to formulate an opinion. We formulate opinions the same way that Jesus Christ did. So, yeah, there's times when you got to turn over a few money changers' tables. But there's also times when you wink at those things. But in our own hearts and in our own mind and in our own practice, you know, the way to refer to him is by who God has called him. And God calls him the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the name which is above every name. And that's why when we go to God in that name, or when we go out in the world and we speak in that name, we see great things happen. You know, it's all through God in the Gospels, when Jesus Christ sent out the 12, when he gave them authority. But he gave them the authority to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers. And then he begins, you know, that's where it introduces the whole section. And then it speaks, it records his words to them, his encouragement to them. You know, he said, freely, you know, go out there and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. And he goes on and on. He tells them all these, don't think, they're going to call you in front of the magistrates. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Father's working in you. He's going to give you the words. He's going to give you what you need. If they won't receive you, then just shake the dust off your feet and move on. Speak for me. Speak the truth. Do the works that I'm doing. And those that will receive you, receive me. And those that receive me, receive him that sent me. And then he says, after that statement, he says, you know, when you come in a prophet, he that receives a prophet in a prophet's name, he receives a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. He that receives a nice glass of water in a disciple's name surely isn't going to lose his reward. You get to drink that water. And then he moves on. What? And you know, as his manner was, everything he did was God inspired. God was showing him. God was working in him, giving him these instructions for his disciples who he just gave power and authority to. And what is he telling them? You go in my name. You go in my name. Am I just a disciple? You know, you could go and you could say, well, I come in the name of Peter. You know, John, you could do that. And you'll get the reward of the guy who sent you. His resources. If it's just a disciple, you may get a good glass of water. If it's a righteous man, he's got a little bit more to offer, and you'll have a little bit better reward. If he's a prophet now we're talking a little bit better. Got a little bit more authority, a little bit more resource there if he's a prophet. Right? Like many of the prophets in the Old Testament. Right? Like the one dude with the leprosy that came to the prophet. But you're coming in my name. In whose name do I come in? So we got the top of all authority at your disposal. You're in that name now. It says in the Gospels, Jesus Christ said, look, you know, everything I do in the Father's name. Now when I'm sending you, you are in the one who sent you. You're in his name. And so we do the same. You know, we're sent, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're not ambassadors for Jesus. We're ambassadors for Christ. Right? And as long as we recognize that we are sent by the Master of all masters, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we go in his name, that's why when we speak in his name, we don't have to say it necessarily, but we can speak it. We speak the truth, and things do happen. People get delivered. People get healed. People get blessed. People's eyes can come to see the truth of the grace of God. And it's all about the grace of God. You know, I neglected one verse in there, that one word in there where it says that, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and gave him a name. Gave him the name. That word gave is charizomai. If you know a little bit about Greek, you know that has to come from that word for grace. Charisma, grace. It's an act of grace. It's a gracious gift. Did he have to give him that name, which is above every name? No. Because he's God. He could still take... His name is above all names, right? And he is supreme. He's put all things under Christ's feet, except himself, because he's God, right? But this was something that God, because in response of his great humility, God graciously gave him. Because it's all about grace, even with the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with his Father. So I just think those things are important, not because we want to split hairs with everybody, but because we want to bring God the glory, right? Because that's really what our heart is all about, is to, when we speak, have it glorify God. When we act, have it glorify God. When we do nothing, have it glorify God. Because that's God's aim, and that becomes our aim. So, we continue to go forth in that name, which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your continued acceptance of us, your children. Thank you, Father, for the way you have blessed our lives beyond what we could have ever expected or ever anticipated. Just as you blessed your only begotten, your Son Jesus Christ, beyond, I'm sure, what he could have anticipated or expected. Father, thank you for the way you continue to work mightily within us, to will and to do of your good pleasure, and to represent you and your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we go forth out there in that crooked and perverse world that needs what you have to offer, and that you continue to open doors for us to speak for you and speak for your Son, that you continue to cause great signs, miracles, and wonders to follow us as we believe, because that's what brings glory to you. And we seek that with every step, with every thought, with every breath. We seek to glorify you because you are so very great. And you are our Heavenly Father. For these things we're grateful in the name of Jesus Christ.